Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning, it's Willard Sapriston.
And Peter Greco.
It's Saturday, July 27th. We're on ESPN 1520. This is a live show. Call us with questions. Again, talk about stocks, bonds, mutual funds at 803-1520, 803-1520, or 1-800-879-7541. It's 5 minutes after 10 in the morning. The show is rebroadcast at night from 12 to 1 on the same station, ESPN 1520, but we're not here then. You can go to our website, hit the Dollar Doctor tab, that's Sapriston, SAPERSTON.com. Dollar Doctor tab live and streaming. Go to the bottom of the page, and what?
And there it is. There's a chat box. You can type in a question, type in a symbol. If you type in a symbol, let us know what you're wanting to do with that symbol.
Well, do you want it? Do you want to buy it? Do you want to sell it?
Exactly. So it makes it a lot easier to try to analyze it based on what you're trying to do. We could give you a good thing about buying and you wanted to sell it.
Well, that's happened with Merck.
Has it?
Yeah. People want to sell Merck. I go, you know, we just got another buy signal. This show is brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities from Rochester. Member FINRA SIPC, MSRB, RIA, blah, blah, blah.
And as the regulations increase, the whole show may be announcing all these little things.
I don't know what that means.
Well, what it means is that, you know, they put another regulation. Now you have to be an LRO and you have to be a...
What is all that?
Who knows, you know? But anyway...
Bottom line is, do your own research, know what you want to do. Get some consulting if it helps.
And that's it. So right now, phone lines wide open, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541.
You know, I was looking this morning, and free economic research at the website from Stone and McCarthy. It's fresh this morning. It's terrific. And they talk about how the consumer really is carrying the economy.
Yeah, they
over and over again.
Yeah. What was it, largest consumer spending since 2014, something like that.
It's how it is in our household.
So I remember, I don't know when it was, last year, a couple of years ago, somebody was being negative, and I said, never underestimate the American consumer and their ability to spend, right? So,
and it's
Warren
been
Buffett
true. Always said, don't bet against America. That's what he's talking about.
Interesting. But anyway... once again, you can go to the chat box. We made it a little bit easier. You know, if you go to sapriston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says live streaming. Once you click on that, you'll hit the page with live streaming, and go to the bottom of the page, there's a chat box. You can type in a question, symbol. If you put a symbol in, let us know whether you want to buy, sell, or hold. Also, you didn't mention we are available live streaming. If you use that tab every Saturday morning from 10 to 11. And we are also rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM out of Buffalo at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, then we'll be on after the sporting event. And all of our shows are archived. And there's a Dollar Doctor tab that says archive. So there you go.
Good morning, Art.
Morning. Good morning. I'm the leadoff hitter here this morning, I guess.
Well, you always are.
Well, I was able to get something in the chat box before I came.
Yeah, we noticed that.
We noticed that. Thank you.
We were checking that out, yeah.
Yeah, very good. I was very pleased this morning to get my bearings off the front step.
Here we go.
Oh.
That's
what I told PG&E. Willard. Art will be all excited.
Oh, very excited. You know, plus, it was up for the week at 1870, which is not too bad for a bankrupt company.
Well, it's interesting when I saw the headline, Pacific Gas and Electric stock could be a buy despite all the risks. Then I started reading the article.
Yes.
And boo, if and in button, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. Any case, I'm hoping that thing recovers. Now, my snap, which I snapped up, finished at 1789, up 387 for the week. And they've been on that on CNBC all during the week, you know, about, you know, they have earnings are better, they have more people, clients on it and all. And I bought it not so much because of the rabbit ears and the pig's nose and the kids getting into that, but because of the fact that it was low, you know, in the thing. And I figured, well, it's when maybe it can do what Twitter did or Facebook's thing and come back up in price. So it looks like it's moving now.
Well, it's got a price objective on point and figure of 27, and it closed at about little under 18. So,
right, and it's all time. Oh, it's 52-week high is 1836.
Yeah,
according to the Barron's.
But we know last year it was at 29.
Right,
2000 beginning of 18 or the end of 17.
Sure.
Yeah, next resistance is 2021 area. So watch that.
Will do.
Because now, a lot of people bought up there and watched it go to 6.
Yeah, well, I had bought at 12, sold at 6, and then I bought it back at 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in good shape.
I don't have the guts you do. I bought it back for someone, for a client at 13, which still worked out okay.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, I figured I got a $12,000 tax loss, and I'm still holding it, you know. So.
There's an article on CNBC on the internet this morning that talks about Snap stealing business and Twitter stealing business from
Facebook. Well, Instagram is that's part of Facebook. That's another one of these instant type message things.
Yeah, I think it is, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, that sounds good. And I guess, and the only other one is my MU, which is just holding water. It's 1528 up 35. And that's got a long way to go to get to its 52-week high.
You know, the biotechs might be starting to break out.
Right.
They're very close.
I read through their annual report, and they have so many different types of unpronounceable drugs that are in the process, you know, or waiting to be approved. And they had to get in compliance with their the visit that they had by the FDA, and I think they've sent in the information that was requested, so I'm hoping that thing can move ahead. Plus, if they ever cure several types of cancer with these drugs, that would be the main thing, whether I make money or not.
Do they want to cure cancer? Because if they do, they're gonna be out of, that whole industry is gonna be out of business. I always wonder.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right now, their drug is for people who had breast cancer and had already tried two other different approaches. This is like people that have a real serious type, and they're, you know, this drug is supposedly in trial for that, to try and give people, although it sounds low, 6 months to maybe a year and a half more life.
Well, you know, I was thinking the other day, maybe the problem is that it hasn't been solved because no one really knows. They think they know, but no one really knows what is cancer, right?
And what causes it.
And what causes it.
Exactly.
And in the end, it may turn out to be a simple explanation that nobody figured out, you know.
Sure.
But anyway, hopefully, anyway.
Yes, yes. One question, Peter. Did you get the envelope I mailed on the 24th?
I did, and I mailed it for you. So.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. Thank you.
Yeah. So, nobody said that to me in a long time.
Oh, okay, right. You're a treasure. Let me put it that
okay.
way. You and Willard.
All right.
Okay, I look forward to listening to the rest of the show. Appreciate everything you do for us here.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for starting us off. Take care.
We are live July 27th, Saturday at 10:10. Call us at 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541 or go to the chat box at Saperston, Saperston.com. Hit the live streaming. Go to the bottom. Leave us a stock symbol. Good morning, Victor.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Good.
Willard, just a quick, you're the income guy here. What are your thoughts on Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and more specifically the FNMAT, which is the junior debt, the bond side of it? I was watching CNBC the other day, and they had not a fund manager, but a endowment guy, and they asked him what is his one best play going out a year, and he gave FNMAT as his number one play. Just someone who'd want to diversify, draw some income, the junior debt on that's a junior debt security. What are your thoughts on it?
We're not showing that it pays a dividend on the. Database we're on. So if you're calling about,
really? It was 8.5.
Yeah, that's the it's an 8.25. But are they? Is it suspended? That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, he made it sound like it was You know, maybe I don't know. He made it sound like it was not.
If they're not paying it, is it cumulative? And then, you know, finally, when everything's settled, are they going to pay all of it? That's another question. You know, is it a cumulative preferred? So you should check into the...
I'm just checking another database.
Yeah.
Which doesn't...
Any ideas if it's not, if they're not paying, you know, what's out there is safe? I mean, that's, you know, 8.5 states is a nice number.
Yeah, I think it's safe. And they're still run by the government, right?
Right, and that was his point.
And that's one thing. And many people believe the government's now milking it because now they're making a lot of money, you know, and the government ends up with it, you know. So, but anyway.
His thoughts were both Fannie and Freddie, it's doing quite well.
Oh, they are. They are doing well. And I say the government's reluctant to let it go, you know. So.
Right. And this is the symbol he gave.
Well, it comes up on one database, but not the other.
Yeah, but what is the symbol again?
Frank, Nancy, Michael, Anthony, Tommy.
Wonder if it's on this one, dot T or something?
No, they don't.
Oh, anyway, so. But, yeah, I mean, I look into further the terms of it. Are they paying? Is it a cumulative preferred? Which would be really nice.
Cumulative is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because then they.
So you'd want a cumulative preferred that would the key.
I'm just saying if it's cumulative, it's even better because then that means any payments they've missed, they have to pay once they get going again. You know.
So like an E-Trade would. I mean, I could count with E-Trade. They would know then, correct?
Not necessarily. You should Google the security itself.
Yeah, exactly. And see what the details of the security are. So just
type
Google
in FNMAT and then say fact sheet and see what happens.
The fact sheet.
Yeah.
Anything else? I mean, just someone who's got some money set aside and tired of collecting, 1.7%. Anything out there that you like, nice dividend safe?
Why would you go to something paying 8? Unless you wanted to buy junk. I mean, unless you were you're willing to take a risk. I know how you do it, but
thing. A well-respected guy comes on CNBC, and at the end of the interview, they say, what's your number one? And he was very enthusiastic about this particular, gave the reasons, like Peter said, that Fannie and Freddie are doing great. The government doesn't want to give this up. He loved this one. Yeah, that was only my point. It was when I heard 8.5, my tentacles went up.
But that's telling you a story, too.
Yeah, but it's not junk.
On 7/24 this week, it reversed on the point and figure chart. And it's generally, it's been very positive. Price objective is 19. So if you're buying it for a stock, you probably have a pretty good thing. If you're buying it for interest, you better have to look into it. It's not clear.
Yeah, I'd be buying it for interest.
Yeah, and we're showing zero dividends. So
okay, I got you. Anything out there you like currently?
Most of the preferreds are paying 5. If you're careful, look at the Gabelli. Go to the Gabelli website, and for Gabelli preferreds, because they do a consortium of them, and they've been very reliable.
And Gabelli.
And they're A rated or A minus rated, which is better than most preferreds.
And their fees are reasonable.
I don't think they charge fees on those things.
No, he means internal fees or something.
Internal fees.
Yeah. Don't know. You'd have to check that
you
out.
Have to you check.
Know. Yeah. You know what's high to you may be low to somebody else. Who knows? You know, but take a look yourself, and you know they'll tell you what the fee is.
I'm not sure they have any management fees.
Hey guys, nice show. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Victor.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Bye.
Give us a ring, 803-1520. We're live Saturday morning at 10:15. The Dollar Doctors, or 1-800-879-7541.
You know, all the time I've noticed it's hard to depend on any one website. Some might say no dividends are being paid. Then you check another and you find out, yeah, dividends are being paid. And you know, so you have to watch out. You know, none of these sites are necessarily perfect, you know, to say the least. So
the most perfect is Bloomberg.
Yep. And but like I say, I've seen where one site has one piece of information, another site has a different piece of information. So it can be difficult. So you have to, you know, finally find out who you can trust, really. So, and I know Willard's looking up that preferred there right now. But anyway, so, you know, right now, phone line's wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Another good week in the market. Matter of fact, a very good week in the market with all the indexes, you know, doing nice. The Dow didn't go up a lot because, you know, Boeing kind of dragged on the Dow.
What do you think of Boeing? Someone asked me at lunch yesterday. I just put in to sell some for a client this morning.
Did you?
Well, I am a bottom fisher, but there's so much headline risk. They're parking that airplane out in the parking lot for the employees. They're making so many.
Well, the thing is that it's hard to say where the bottom is.
Southwest just cut all their service to Newark because they don't have any planes.
And they're trying to find out how much Boeing's going to compensate them for losses. But, yeah, that creates an opportunity. Boeing's not going out of business.
That's what they said on lunch.
Yep. So I think
just not my kind of opportunity.
I mean, if you don't own the stock and you're looking to invest and make it an investment, you buy a little, you know. And then if it goes down, whatever, a decent percentage further, which you don't like to hear, you buy a little bit more because you're never going to figure out exactly where the bottom would be. So anyway, right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. I'm watching what you're doing. You're playing
around.
I'm
looking around for that darn preferred.
Well, anyway, we got
to go to Bloomberg.
Got a caller on the line.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Okay, thank you.
I just got a question on a few stocks I've had. You know, they're not really doing anything, but I do have like a small profit in them. I'm just wondering, you know, if it's time to get out and raise some cash. First one is Southern Copper, SCCO. You know, I don't really follow commodities and stuff like that, but I know when I bought it, there was something about, you know, copper being in demand and something spurring growth, but I don't know what's going on now.
Well, what you got to realize, if they're worried about a global slowdown, then copper would be under pressure, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the copper wires, the copper in automobiles. It's an industrial metal.
So it's copper's, you know, kind of a, what would you say, an indicator for economic beliefs about the economy and how things are going forward. And if they think the whole global situation is going to slow down, you know, it can be under pressure.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the chart.
Well, it just went from 34 to 39, but you've got what we call overhead supply at 42 to 43. So you might put a stop in the thing, you know, if you're concerned.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could always, if you have a small profit, take it and watch it, and you might want to go back in again, you know. Yeah.
You would worry under 36, and it closed at 37, 36.
Under 36, okay.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that would be a, you know, possible stop point. It could get down to 33 from there or even 30, according to the chart.
So. Right. Okay. Well, and then you said overhead supply is around 42, 44?
Yeah. So you'd want to be very careful there whether or not you want to say goodbye if it gets there.
Okay. Okay. And another one, if you have time, is CONE.
Don't recognize that one. What is that?
Cyrus One.
Which is?
Pays 3%.
What business is it in?
Real estate. Is it a REIT? Is it a REIT?
REIT, yeah. Oh.
Well. We go, well.
Go ahead, Peter.
Well, it's at the long term uptrend line, but it's below the downtrend line.
Which was, it got a high of 64 recently.
Right.
This year.
So, you know, the bottom line on all of it is it depends which way this is going to break, and this doesn't tell you that, but it technically would be a buy if it broke above what? I can't quite.
65, 10 points higher. If you're thinking up here?
No.
I'm thinking here?
Yeah.
60.
Above 60.
Now, what you ought to do is get the fact sheet on this thing and see if those dividends are level, increasing, or decreasing, if it's a REIT.
Okay.
Because REITs trade on dividends.
Right now, the chart is really kind of neutral. You know, it's stuck between a downtrend line and an uptrend line. So, you know, if it went above 60, that would be good. And if it dropped below what?
Well, you're there, below 56.
Yep.
Although you wouldn't sell at 55.82. It's not enough of a drop, you know. But check on the dividends. If the dividends are declining and it's a 3% REIT, that 3% is low for a REIT, and declining dividends we don't like.
Right. Okay. And then, like, when you say fact sheet, just, like, look up, like, the quote, you got the high 52 weeks, the low 52 weeks.
No, type in CONE fact sheet on your browser and see what comes up.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
And usually that'll have all that information, what dividends it's been paying and all that stuff.
Okay, thank you. And another one is NWSA.
News Corp. Price objective 18, close to 13.5. We have from one or two accounts, a position in New York Times. Maybe I sold it. I got tired of waiting to see if it would go any higher. I don't know why these things are doing well unless they're getting into digital.
That's hard. Yeah, it's hard to say. But you know, what does this have a dividend on it, this one here?
Yes, it's. I believe the yield is 1.49.
Oh well,
yeah, you're right.
So
pretty negligible.
So what'd you buy it for? Obviously not the yield, right?
Again, you know, that's a long term thing I've had, and you know, there's something I probably saw on CNBC years ago, or I read about, you know, that said that they had something going on.
Well, it died in the 18.5 area. It came all the way down to, what, 10 and something?
10.5, 11.
Went back up and tested that area, which was a good sell point, when it couldn't get back up to 18. You know, now it came back down. It looks like it might make a trip back up again.
If you do point and figure and you put it in quarter point, it doesn't look so bad. It's just having a retest.
But you know, but basically, it looks like this is a up and down stock going sideways for years, and it's established a nice base in what area, the 10 and 11 area or something.
12 and a quarter, 13,
that area. But you know, as Willard's doing, You can make a chart tell you anything, you know. But anyway,
well, you want to look at different,
right? Things. But anyway, you know, normally they say, like if you're doing bar charting, you should pay more attention to the longer term charts first rather than look at a daily chart. You know, maybe watch the weekly chart or the monthly chart. You know, to get an overall picture of the longer term trend that the stock is in. And then you look for a buying opportunity within the longer-term trend. But anyway, I mean, you know, you might have a shot back at that 17 area again, you know. So you want to be a little bit patient.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay, so that one's something that, not to worry about. Just hang on for a while, maybe see what happens.
No, worry about everything. No.
I know.
And then you'll drive yourself nuts. But anyway.
Really? Yeah. Do you have time for one more?
Sure. You can do the whole show if you want.
Okay. Okay. MDLZ. That's hovering around a 52-week high. And
Mondelez.
Mondelez, yeah.
It was the split up of Kraft years ago.
Correct.
It closed at 55-ish. It's got a price objective point and figure of 88. We have it in a few accounts. We're holding it. It had a huge base breakout at 47, 48.
Yes, they got real, real strong support in that 47, 48 area for it.
So we're holding that for people right now. It doesn't mean we're right, but up is good and down is bad, right?
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, if you own it, I'd hold it, you know.
Okay, so it survived the base breakout around 47, 48.
Well, it may do a retest again, for all I know. You know,
so you might see it back there, but it's at 55 for all intents and purposes. It may go back. But it would look like that's where a lot of buyers came in.
Yep. And sometimes it'll only go halfway back, you know. So you say, 48 to 54.6 will be 51?
Yeah.
Halfway back would be 51.
You know. And that would be okay. That's what stocks do.
Yeah. Everybody gets excited when they go down. You know, stock doesn't go straight up forever, right?
Correct.
And they have to kind of rest and take a break, you know, refuel and take off again, you know, so... So
right.
I mean, unless you have a big profit or something, and you know you're worried about losing it, you know.
No, I just looking at some of the stocks I've had, they get to a certain point and then they hover around there, and then I look at them, you know, like a few months later, 6 months later, and then they're down, you know, 10, 15 points from their high,
mm-hmm.
and they're hovering down there, and I'm saying, oh, this one's at the 52 week high, you know, about time to take some money off the table or what. So that's why I was looking at that one.
Well, it's called FOMO, you know, fear of missing out, so you don't get out.
Did you steal my
right.
idea? I was just saying that.
And a lot of times, you know, if you're in doubt and you have a nice profit, take half off the table, right? So no matter mm-hmm. what happens, unless you let it go down way below what you paid for, you're still going to be at a profit, you know.
Right.
And don't get upset if, you know, be happy the other half keeps going, you know. Don't go, oh, my God, I should have never done that, you know. You got to be consistent, you know. So, but anyway.
Right.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you guys very much for all your excellent information.
By the way, in my opinion, and I don't know what that's good for, Mondelez is the best of the stocks that you showed us.
Well, yeah, so there's no question about that. And it's been in what has been a strong sector, the consumer staples area has been very hot. Now, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if that's because a lot of people have been worried about the rest of the market and they're piling into consumer staples. But forever, for whatever reason, that sector has been strong. And it's looks like one of the strongest stocks in the sector.
And, you know, there are Oreos and Halls, cough drops. And I think saltines and Chips Ahoy, all that stuff.
Yeah, they make hundreds of things.
It's all good
and
for you.
And if you're interested, Willard's going to go through the whole list.
No,
so.
But I just, you know, I like that.
But anyway.
I can identify with, with that stuff.
Well, he's making me hungry now.
Yeah, I know. Me too. My stomach's starting to rumble.
No, and Willard, that was a good call on BGS, B&G Foods. It's going down a little bit more. So, yeah, I got out of it just in time.
You know, and I don't know why. It's a great company, but it's not a, it hasn't not a, been great, a great stock.
So. Yeah, not for a while, maybe. Yeah. Okay, well, again, thanks again, gentlemen, and you have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thank you very much for calling.
Take care. Great show. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to break.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
You're listening to Peter Greco and Willard Saperstein, or Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco, Saturday, July 27th at 10:30. We are the Dollar Doctors on ESPN 1520. We are rebroadcast from 12 to 1. Every Saturday night, we have the shows archived at our website, Saperstein, SAPERSTON.com, and you can go there now. And you can leave us a symbol you're interested in. If you go to live streaming and go to the bottom of the page and type something into the chat box. The show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities of Rochester, member FINRA SIPC, MSRB, RIA, blah, blah, blah. Free economic research at the website Saperstein, SAPERSTON.com. Every Saturday morning, fresh from Stone and McCarthy, with a little vignette on how interest rates have behaved and how the markets have behaved and how oil and gold have behaved. I remembered all that.
I'm impressed.
Good morning, Jack. Good morning. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, first of all, Pete, you make such a good point. You know, one of the good things about investing, if you want to make money, is not knowing only when to buy, but when to sell.
Yep, and that's the hardest.
Yeah, and that's a tough one for me.
It's tough for everybody.
tend to hold on. One thing was Trivago, bought at 11, went up to about 24, and I thought, boy, it's going to be the next price line. I kept it. Instead of doubling my money, I ended up actually losing. I just held on. So yeah. that happened. So
yeah, I had to double, right?
And
if you had taken half off, even if it went back, you know, you still had money made. So
yeah,
anyway.
And I need to learn that, I guess.
Right.
So
yep.
What about that Google?
What about it?
Tell you. I had 5 shares I bought a little while ago at 974. I bought another share about 1100, and it wasn't doing much. And boy, what, $100 and some went up yesterday?
Oh yeah, that's, you know, the earnings were very, very good, obviously.
Yeah.
And you never know going into earnings with these guys, right? You know, because you know, like the Googles and the Amazon, sometimes they just want to spend their money and reinvesting in the company, and the earnings don't look great all of a sudden, right? And then that's how it gives you an opportunity, you know, to go in and buy the stock. So,
yeah, and that's I'm sure glad I held on to mine.
It's
doing great now. A couple companies. One is Carl Victor Sam, CVS. Mm-hmm. I had that at 50. I've had it for a number of years. Of course, it went up to about 90, maybe even 100 a few years ago, and I just held on to it, and now it's down. What do you think about hanging on to that?
Well, they did buy Aetna, right?
You know? Yes, they did.
Yeah. So
didn't do much for them, though, when they
did that. Yeah, I don't understand what the problem with it is, to tell you the truth, because I had seen all along, which goes to show you, you know, you read all these great reports and everybody says, oh, all the way down, CVS was a great buy, you know, and it just kept going, you know, going down. So, you know, obviously the supports at that clear level there, which is
well. Why. Support is 52 to 57, and you closed right in there, right in. Support.
Yeah, and you know, if you drop technically, if you drop to 51, would tell you you probably should get out of it. You know.
Okay.
And sometimes there's something going. You know, no matter what you read and so forth and so on. People who really know something.
The price is the price.
Right. And, you know, the people who really know something, there's a reason why they're selling it.
You bought it because of the dividend of 3%, or you bought it because you liked the name and you thought it was
No, I bought it. At the time, I bought it. This was, it had to be about 4 or 5 years ago. I bought it at about 50, and like I said, it went up to about, I mean, it was good recommendations.
It
was a solid company, and it had gone up to 90 or higher.
There's another example,
In 2012, it was 112.
Okay, 112, yeah. I thought it got over 100, and for some reason, I just held on instead of maybe getting rid of some of it.
Right, yeah.
Well, we told the last caller on Mondelez, sell half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take something out, a little bit out, and put it aside.
So I'm still a bit ahead of the game, and it pays, I think, 50 cents a quarter now. Yeah. And
Potentially, if it hits 51, I'd rethink it. You know.
Okay.
So I'd hold for now, and if it hits 51, you can decide. You know.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Another one is Bristol Myers. Bill, Mary.
They had good earnings. Yesterday. You know, they had good earnings. I think the Celgene thing's still a cloud over their head, but, you know.
Yeah. It did turn from the bottom at 43 and closed at
45 now, isn't it?
Yeah, but it turned around. It was going down at 43 and turned on the chart.
But it's still in a solid downtrend. Very solid. And like I said, I think the Celgene thing now, you know, their earnings normally, if it wasn't the Celgene, I think the stock would have really run, you know. But the earnings were very good. Nobody cared that much. It did pop up, okay. But I think they're still not happy about this Celgene acquisition, you know.
Yeah, I got it at 48.5, and it got up to about 60 or 70 again.
Yep, again.
Instead of selling some.
Right.
You're learning your personality.
Yeah, I guess so. Although a lot of things they held on to. Oh, and another one, I guess Texas Instrument, TXN.
They've been doing well.
Yeah, I bought that at 49. I bought that actually in 2000. And I only bought 50 shares. And why I never bought any more, I don't know. It's up to 128 now. So there's some of my holders are, you know, it just pays. But it's just too late to buy more.
Well, we have a price objective of 170 point and figure. It broke out at 118, and it's at 128. You would rather pay, you know, 118, 120 if it corrected, but... you know, you could buy a little more.
Yeah, it looks like a major breakout, and you want to see that, you know, approximately, say 116 to 120 hold, you know, and the 200 days where?
200 days 105, 50 days 112.
Yeah, so if you're going to be long-term, you could use the 200-day 105. You know.
Okay.
But, you know, if that was a valid breakout, you want to see that breakout area hold as support, you know.
All right, so it does have a price objective 170, so it's, yeah, okay. Like I said, I should have bought more a long time ago. I kept thinking, well, how much higher can it go? And then it keeps going. So, anyway.
That's the opposite problem.
Right, anyway. Yeah. All right, well, guys, thank you so much.
Okay,
thanks for calling.
Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Bye. Give us a ring. We're live. The Dollar Doctor is 803-1520. It's Saturday, July 27th at 10:40. 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. We did have a chat box.
On Nokia. N-O-K.
N-O-K. And I'm disappointed in Nokia.
It's been disappointing, but they came out with very good earnings, and they can potentially be a very important, and a lot of it had to do with 5G.
Well, that's why I was disappointed.
Right, and you know, it's been sitting there.
But you have tremendous overhead supply at 6.5.
Yeah, it's a big resistance up there. But you know, if you know, I hold an option on it, but it's a short term option. But anyway,
so you're expecting something in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, just this, you don't need much of a pop on an option, you know.
Right.
You know, but anyway.
But if you did that, probably it goes down first, right?
Or no, well, I made money on one, then I went back in again.
Oh, so, yeah, well, we've all done
but
that.
But anyway.
Yeah,
we've all. Because I decided, you know, after
you've
that,
all had seller's remorse.
Well, no. The big pop after earnings, and I said, okay, let me see if it, and it's refusing to give up ground after that big pop. You know, on Friday with a very kind of mixed market, you know, it just wouldn't give up more than a few pennies. So I said, hey, it's probably still strong, probably more in it. And one service I follow said this is the number one play for them for 5G.
Well, I read that 3 or 4 months ago and lost money on it.
Yeah, so we shall see. But anyway, so
you could tell the story about people following services.
Oh, yeah.
On newsletters and how half of them quadrupled their money and half of them lost everything.
Well, I think they
the same recommendations.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think they used to be, I don't know if it was a stock service, but there was some kind of service. I think it was a horse racing service.
Yeah.
So what they would do is they would send out a different horse to bet to different sections of the country, right? And so obviously if you happen to be in the section of the country where that horse won, you'd think it's the greatest service in the world, right? So I don't think anybody does that in the stock service. I would hope not, but anyway.
We have a chat room question on Fidelity Biotech because I opened my fat mouth and said I think biotechs are about to break out.
Biotech's a very tough area.
I should keep my mouth shut. FBIOX.
I forgot the guy's name. I think it's Dan Zanger. He's a famous trader, made a ton of money, and he says one of his rules is never buy a biotech stock because you never know.
I have some rules like that.
Right.
Never buy a country stock.
Yep.
Because I've never been able to make it work.
Yep.
Well, Fidelity Biotech closed in 1987. And you'd either pay about $21.60 or, to be sure, $22.80 if you want to wait that long.
Is he looking to buy it?
He owns it. He wants to buy more. Let's look at a short-term scale and see if we can get, $20.80 really, right?
Yeah, as a further buy, but, you know, where's your stop point on this?
$19.40
on that chart. Where is it on the longer-term chart?
You're a stickler.
Yeah.
It's also the default chart, so 1860
yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. So, you know, if it went down to that, 18, what? Would you say 60?
1860, yeah.
Interesting. Anyway, if it went down to 18.
That's what the chart says.
I know, went down. No, I'm just saying, why are they doing that kind of chart?
You want a longer chart?
No, where's the half point chart on it? Is that the half point, or were you there?
Such things. Here we go. Long term.
That's kind of weird.
There's your half point chart.
Yeah.
Now what do you want to know? You
nothing.
Wait
I just
15?
Wanted to.
You're
no.
Gonna let
I
it
just
drop
wanted to
from,
see what it looked like.
From
but
20
I,
bucks.
But I see 30. Every time it's run up to what area that
22,
it died.
22.
It's died. Right?
Even back in 2015.
Yeah. So and right now, where's it trading?
1987.
Yeah, so you got to be aware that 21-22 area can be potentially very strong resistance. If it breaks out above that,
at 23, it's a nice buy on a chart.
Yeah, on a chart, right. So
price objective.
So would you buy more now?
No.
No. Okay.
No. I wouldn't sell it either.
But you'd buy more in a breakout.
23. I'm a breakout guy. You taught me.
I used to have
an ad. It used to say, buy in a breakout.
Buy in a breakout. Okay.
But it's got to be a good stock market,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not.
Where's the 200-day on this?
1943.
And where's it at?
1987.
Yeah. So,
as I said, I wouldn't sell it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd buy more.
I prefer to see it stay above the 200-day, too. Yeah. So, okay.
They're happy.
Anybody else in the chat box there? By the way, the chat box is at our website, saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab, live streaming, and then go to the bottom of the page, and there's a chat box. You can type in a question, symbol.
Art from New Jersey says that CVS originally was named Consumer Value Stores. Remember that?
No.
I do.
He's a lot older than we are.
Not much.
I got to go fix something.
Zach, you do.
Yeah.
Your glasses.
No, I had to fix the screen, so we
so
lost
Zach
the screen.
So Zach says CVS got Amazoned and never came back.
Got Amazoned. Yeah,
well, they bought a drug company, and if you get older and you have to take 3 or 4 pills every day, and you go to the drugstore and you're getting little bottles, and you got to put them together in your little Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
You can go to Amazon to the drugstore, and they will send you the 3 or 4 or 5 pills, whatever it is you have to take every day, in a package.
Oh, really?
Your prescriptions, yeah.
Holy cow.
And they don't charge more, and they deliver it to your door. That rhymes.
Good point.
So they got Amazon.
And I didn't even know that.
And I told my wife, who goes to the drugstore and gets me a few different scripts, let's try this Amazon thing, and we don't have to fuss around.
Interesting.
You never get them all at once. So every week or so, something's running out, and you're running to get that to add.
Interesting. So nice advertisement there.
Well, it's a great service.
Yep, no question about it.
I am
in. That's probably why they bought Aetna, to diversify a little bit more. So very interesting.
CVS did, yeah. They want to do health care in the drugstore.
Yeah, so.
Okay, we have a new chat box question.
Okay.
AMC and AMD.
Boy, how about that?
Yeah, let's look at AMC. It's movies, right?
Yep.
Movies do well in a recession.
I read something very positive on this, and I forgot
AMC?
What it was. Yeah. I can't remember what it
pays
was.
Pays 7%. I'd want to check to see how reliable the dividend is. In 2017, it was at 35. It closed at 11. That's a great bottom fish play.
It's an aggressive buy. An aggressive buyer would have bought it when it reversed up to what?
Well,
15 and a half, is it?
10 and a half.
10 and a half, really. Yeah, 10 and a half.
But that was all, you know, we will set charts sometimes when they're in straight zeros down for a reversal and then have a look at the stock. But I want to see that dividend, if it's been decreasing, increasing, how long it's been paid.
Does he own it, did he say? Or?
He wants
or
our
buy it?
Our opinion.
Opinion in terms of what? Buying it, selling it?
He didn't say.
Oh, it didn't say. Okay.
But I suspect he wants to buy it.
Well, I mean, if he's looking to buy it, there's an obvious stop point, you know, under
eight
the reversal.
And
eight and a half. Yeah. You know, so if you're willing to, you know, take the risk to 8.5, not meaning it's going to go back there, but 8.5 would be a potential out point for it. And after the long drop, it dropped from where?
2 years ago, 35.
Yeah, but recently it dropped from what, 17 or 20. So? Where did it? No, this one right here. No, not that one.
Last November.
No,
was
not
it
that. 20. Next one.
This one?
Yeah, what's there?
17.
17 down the what?
It's better when you can't read.
17 down the what?
Nine.
So that's so 8 points.
So you're going to go.
Halfway back's what? 12?
Yeah,
13?
Yeah.
Whatever. 12, yeah.
And you're at 11.
Yeah. So
nice try.
And where's the 200-day? 14?
14.
All right. So ideally, you'd like to see it get back above the 200-day. So if you are going to buy it, you want it to be confirmed by moving above the 200-day.
Good morning, Ed.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Good show.
Thank you.
I'm interested in CXW. That's the REIT and the prisons for rent industry.
Prison for rent, huh?
Yeah, they've been under attack by Senator Warren, I believe.
Yeah, well, she attacks everything. But anyway.
Let's not get political.
I'm not going to get political, though.
No. But
well,
anyhow.
It's got a bottom area in the 13.5 if it goes that low. And I would want to look more at expected earnings and how secure that dividend is.
And you want to see reversal, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I was going to buy that, I'd set it for reversal, and I'd rather pay 17 than 15, knowing that maybe it's on its way back up. So our opinion is it could go into that 13.5, 14 area first. But more importantly, it's obviously got headline risk. I don't like to buy things with headline risk.
Yeah. Well, do you think that she really has any power?
Well,
I think she's a commie and
I
a socialist.
We weren't being political.
I'm not. But you're talking to a guy who was in Soviet Russia twice,
yeah, right, but,
when he was young, and I saw what it does to a country.
Needless to say, I agree with you. But does she have any power? you know, right now in the presidential race, she's running second. So, whatever. But, you know, like I say, if you're willing to, you know, take the headline risk and so forth, your risk is down to 13, you know.
I sold half a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Good.
And I was thinking of getting back in a little bit.
Well, if you do point-and-figure charting, you can go to stockcharts.com, and you can set an alert to send you an email when it reverses. So you really want to wait until you see it turn around, because it might go to 13 first. That's what Peter's saying.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, in the meantime, I'm collecting a damn good dividend.
Well, that's good.
Exactly.
Yeah, that at least it makes up for it a bit, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to get too political on you, but...
Well, sometimes it does carry the day.
One has to worry about hotheads, if you know what I mean.
Well, and also, you know, these days, anything that comes out, so political has been affecting the market left and right, so it's the way it is. So. Anyway.
Well, it does show a price target at 24.
Well, the one I'm looking at shows 7, so... I don't know what target you're looking at.
I would be surprised that, you know, because it shouldn't have a bullish price objective. You know.
Yeah, well, there was an earnings increase, an estimate increase.
Oh, okay.
Well, the earnings aren't going to matter if she puts them out of business. Again, I don't like headline risk. Maybe there's something else that pays that kind of dividend.
I mean, the other side of the coin is if you want to buy a little, you know.
Well, you own some.
You still own some. That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, I would sit it out at the moment. You know, let it show you that it wants to go up. You know.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you for the advice.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks,
have a good
Ed.
Weekend.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much, Ed. You're listening to Willard Saperston, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors Live. We have a few minutes left, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541 or our chat box at saperston.com. Go to the live and streaming tab. Go to the bottom.
There you go.
Now, one more chat box question on what do we think about AMD?
Oh, that's right.
It's been on fire.
It's been interesting. You know, for years they were like the stuff that
the little
Intel
guy.
Stepped on.
Yep.
And the woman running it now seems to be doing a very good job.
Brilliant.
Yep.
And, just brilliant.
Right now it's testing
34.
34, which was the high win. You know, like back then.
High last year.
Last year.
In August.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's getting ready to really make a nice breakout. The 200-day moving average is at, what?
25. And the 50-day at 30.
30. So right now.
So you have what we call support.
Yeah, somewhere between there, 25 and 30. But, you know, a lot of times institutional, supposedly the institutional players, they look at the 50-day. And, you know, as long as it's above the 50-day, they are supposed to be interested in buying. I think you have a lot of potential here, and you'd put a stop where at 24, maybe at 20.
Well, you go put a stop at 24. You're on the uptrend line. That's always an issue.
Well, it's an issue. Yeah.
Let's say you use the 200-day, which is 25, 24.
Yeah, but you notice it hasn't given a sell signal all the way up, and the first sell signal would be at 20. What 8? Does it look like?
28.
28. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And we know a sell signal in an uptrend is really.
A buy signal.
Thank you.
Because it's a false breakdown, potentially.
False sell.
Because your best, you see, in a strong uptrend, your sell signals are usually buy signals. And
you're
going to
confuse everyone.
Yeah, but in a downtrend, what you think is a buy signal is usually what really you should be selling, you know. So in a downtrend, but trying to determine on your own whether it's in an uptrend and downtrend, that's another story. Anyway. So we are approaching the last 3 minutes of the show, and you know, as I say, all the averages did well. The Dow is up 16.5 this year, NASDAQ up 25.5, S&P up 20.7.
Big market.
And even the Russell. You know, Russell had a good week. It's up 17.1. And
now the chat box come in. Is it time to buy Ollie? I don't know.
OLLI?
Yeah. in your last.
I like the store.
Me too.
It's a fun store.
I love going in there.
Yeah, it could be. You'd get a buy signal at what?
90 on stop, I'd buy that.
Yeah,
stop.
Buy 90 on stop, and then you would
close
stop
at 88.
Below the trend line, probably.
81.
81, somewhere in that area, yeah. So if you do get the buy, then you could get a shot first at testing the high, which would be what?
104.
Yeah, it looks interesting, but wait for the breakout there at, what was it again?
90. I'd put a 90 on stop.
90 on stop, yeah. That looks very interesting. And as Willard always says, but didn't, do your own research, right?
That's right. You have been listening to Willard Saperstein, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors. We're live every Saturday morning between 10 and 11. We broadcast 12 to 1 on this station, archived at Saperstein, SAPERSTON.com, with free economic research. And as we always say, thank you for listening. Keep a little powder dry, and good night and good luck.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.